You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We take you to winter 1776.
Message for General Washington.
Yes, Captain.
Oh, hello, sir. Colonel Lee says the Redcoats are encamped just across the river at Trenton, sir.
We need to get the boats down to the Delaware, but the wagons are too noisy. What to do?
Begging the General's pardon, sir, Eustace Emery III. And I can lube those wagon axles so they don't squeak, sir.
Do it, Sergeant Emery.
And so, Washington's army crossed the Delaware.
We can grease your modern car truck axles, change the oil, charge the air conditioning, and do brakes, belts, and hoses on all brands, foreign and domestic. If you want a mechanic that cares about your car and your Thanksgiving, call 323-8650. That's 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Great lineup of guests today. Sam Stone, candidate for the City Council in Phoenix, but a GOP consultant and an expert in GOP politics. We'll be talking with Sam. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, talks about the victory in the midterms. Larry Bodine is with us from the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Let's go to Sam Stone. Sam, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us. Thank you.
John, thank you so much. Glad to be on, as always.
You're on it's a toss-up here. You have to have a runoff for your city council race in Phoenix. Tell me what happened.
So this was effectively our primary. It was an 8-candidate field. It's a jungle primary, so theoretically if someone gets 50% plus one, the race is over, which happened in one case where, the incumbent was running unopposed. But other than that, or I think actually another one squeaked in there, also another incumbent. But it's a system that definitely benefits incumbency. And then there's a runoff, assuming no one gets 50% plus one, in March 14th.
And you've run off against one other person, right?
Yeah, Kevin Robinson. He's the mayor's candidate in the race, so it'll be very interesting.
All right. You supported Carrie Lake, and she supported you. You had to have a conversation with her after all this has been said and done. What was that conversation like? She had to ask you what the hell happened, I would assume, and what would your answer be?
Oh, it was a couple of things. One, she doesn't love hearing this, but I think I really got very uncomfortable when Trump came out 48 hours before the election and basically announced he was running, because you have a lot of people who were perhaps willing to consider Kerry, but worried about what if Trump runs for president again, and not wanting to vote for him essentially in this governor's race. And so I think that was potentially a point or two. you know, which would have been the difference. And then, look, the Democrat turnout machine at this point, in terms of their ballot gathering and all that sort of thing, it just doesn't matter about enthusiasm. And then thirdly, rural turnout was low. It was lower than 2018, which I think is really a Republican mistake about not chasing early ballots and not letting people feel comfortable about early ballots.
You know, your family's been involved with baseball teams, own baseball teams in the West, and I was commenting on this, midterm election from the voice of Vince Scully during the 1988 World Series. Gibson's at the plate and hits the home run that is now history and incredible event in all of American sports. And, of course, the Scully comment was the improbable became the impossible. And I liken the midterms to just exactly what Vince Scully had said about the Gibson home run. You see the analogy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's absolutely the case. And, you know, I mean, I think given national circumstances, Biden's approval rating, everything else that's going on right now, it's a pretty remarkable thing. The fourth factor, obviously, Roe v. Wade, which, you know, look around the country. This is going to end up being legal in every state anyway. So, you know, GOP is now put in a very precarious position as that moves forward here, and frankly ought to be hoping that the 15-week law is let stand.
Let me ask you about Trump. Trump has a Trump card to play. Assuming he doesn't get the nomination, he could still run as an independent, take his 20% of the Republican vote, or 40 or whatever it is, and run away with it. And cost the Republicans any hope of a presidential win in 2024. He could do that.
Well, no. So, no, look, he's going to be running in the Republican primary. The mechanism to run as an independent has always been incredibly difficult. The bar is really high to get yourself on the ballot in all 50 states. It's incredibly difficult to do, even to get in enough states to you know, have a major impact. It's really difficult. So he's running in the Republican field. And the question remains, I think his support is dropping. I've always kind of pegged it at a third that was immobile with him. It seems to be dropping to a quarter, maybe 20%. Again, that's a hefty number in a 8, 10, 12 candidate field. If it's a 2 candidate field, 3 candidate field, it's a different story.
So he can't, he could, I guess he could take his followers and say, don't vote for the winner if he doesn't win. He could, what I'm saying is he could hurt the Republican Party. He has the ability to do
certainly.
That.
Certainly. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And it's not his concern. He's made that very clear. His focus is on him and what he sees as his movement. And it takes a team to win. And then that's one of the things, again, we saw is that there's a portion of the GOP that didn't come out. They voted for Kimberly Yee, but didn't vote for Kerry Lake and Blake Masters and Abe Hamadeh. And that really hurt. And that's essentially the anti-Trump segment.
By the way, Arizona Republicans bruising over these losses at the top of the ballot have prompted calls for the state GOP chairwoman Kelly Ward to resign immediately, turn the party's focus away from the rightmost flank of the conservative politics. What is the fate of Kelly Ward? They want her head now. Is that a good move?
No, that's not going anywhere. You know, she'll finish her term, and I don't, you know, from what I understood, she wasn't planning to run again, so someone else will be the next GOP chair. That's a lot of hot air, quite frankly.
All right, the fate of the Republican Party moving on to 2024. You've got, I think the word is reconstruction. Explain, if it is reconstruction, how that would unfold, do you believe? And is it necessary to reconstruct the Republican Party after 2022?
Yes and no. I mean, there's a couple of things. Had Republicans not scared people away from early ballots and gone out and pursued them, in terms of the way we did in the past and used to win on, I think most of these very close races would have gone our way. I mean, realistically, that alone would have made the difference. And if you look across the country at unexpected margins in places like Florida, but almost everywhere with Hispanics turning out in record numbers for the GOP candidates. The real key is to embrace a lot of what Donald Trump brought to the party, the America First agenda. It's a more blue-collar agenda than the GOP has embraced in the past. Continue to embrace that, but be able to move beyond the cult of personality stuff and really just formulate a vision and sell that vision. I still can't tell you from this past election what the Republican Party's message was, other than Democrats are really bad.
Well, that and I've always been confused about what the Democrats' message was. I always thought they had a terrible message, and finally they came up with one, and what is that was Roe is one of those messages, obviously.
Well, and that's a pretty easy message to formulate, right?
Sure.
I mean, you're not breaking new ground there. So, they were smart to focus on that and drive their base to make sure they turned out. And that had an effect, without question. But historically, they have not been great at it either.
All right, ABC, give me three reasons why the Republicans can recover in 2024. Take the presidency, maybe take the Senate. There's a lot of Democratic Senate seats up, I think perhaps as many as 25. So there are openings for the GOP to rebound. How do they do that, ABC, if you will?
The map and math are favorable. First, put Biden and the Senate on the defensive with substance. In other words, move forward substantial ideas for a conservative vision for the future and make them stop them so that you change some of the narrative, so that you actually have a plan and an agenda you're campaigning for. But two, things ain't going to get that much better in the next 2 years. Inflation may be going down, but it's going to be a slow process if it is. The economy isn't going to get better for a while. Biden's health is not going to get better. And one of the things that you're going to see is these Democrats who won close races are far more radical in office than they campaigned. And that's not going to play well either.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about who may run for president beyond Trump in the GOP. Our Florida governor seems to have an inside track, does he?
He would be the favorite, Ron DeSantis. Absolutely. He had the best day of any Republican in the country. He and Rubio dominated across Florida. Florida Republicans as a whole dominated, had a phenomenal day. Glenn Youngkin's name is up there. Greg Abbott may consider it. We've heard that Asa Hutchinson is considering it. Again, if you have a small field, I think Donald Trump is very vulnerable. In a large field, he's going to be hard to beat. He's going to get a lot of early states with a relatively small plurality.
But he can't win again, can he?
Again, if it's a huge field and they stick it in, who knows?
That's the question. Who knows? Let me take a quick break and come back with you, Sam Stone. I sure appreciate you spending part of your time with us for this weekend. Thank you very much. Sam Stone, city council candidate for the metropolitan city of Phoenix and a GOP strategist and consultant. Back in a moment.
Did you know that a majority of Arizonans support more funding for public education, affordable health care, and jobs that pay well? This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and that's what we stand for. Activate yourself by Googling Democrats of Greater Tucson and clicking on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
Together, they've brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me is Sam Stone, GOP consultant and GOP strategist and a city council candidate in Phoenix. Sam, the whole idea here is that I don't think Biden's going to be the candidate in 2024. What's your take on that? And if not Biden, whom?
Well, that's a great question, John, because who among the top contenders would you point to?
No, I have no idea.
Nobody does. I mean, Kamala Harris is terrible. She's not your nominee.
Newsom's my pick, but I'd have no idea whether he has any interest in that or not.
He clearly does, but bloody good luck taking, for instance, Gavin Newsom's record in California up against Ron DeSantis' record in Florida.
Well,
I mean, their bench is a problem. You know, Mayor Pete may be one of their top two or three candidates. And you're talking about a guy whose resume would not normally be that of someone who is a legitimate presidential contender. You're talking about a small city mayor who was named transportation head, on a purely political basis, no real background in it. And is flying around the country handing out money, which, makes plenty of people in local government happy, but isn't much of a qualification for your knowledge of the job. So their bench is incredibly thin.
Is it possible, though, Biden could run again? I don't think he will, but, I mean, what's your take on a rerun for another term for the president?
Campaign at Bernie's?
Okay.
I mean,
that's cruel but fair. I've got to give you that. Cruel but fair. That's what you are. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Why?
No, I just think, honestly, I don't think it's fair to Joe Biden. I really do not, because clearly at this point, it's his staff and his wife and some of these others it would push him to run. He is clearly not fit for the job at this point, and it's not getting better. So they've got to come up with a plan B and transition to somebody else.
And they're going to have to do that pretty damn soon, because the campaign starts in January, I would think. Nobody I've ever known that had a serious run for the presidency of the United States did not start as early as, 2 years out, and we're 2 years out. So somebody's going to have to make up their mind.
What would be really interesting in a big-time power play by Biden, which, no one's really talking about, is go ahead and replace Kamala Harris with whoever you think it should be.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, sure. Why not, right? Like, line them up.
There's a new one. I hadn't heard that one at all. But there's no...
Yeah, neither had I, but it would make all the sense in the world.
All right. No Ross Perot independent run for Trump at all. He's either going to win it or lose it in the GOP primary for president, right?
Absolutely. And you can see how, he's worried about it, or he wouldn't be going after Ron DeSantis and Glenn Youngkin already.
And, where's he going to go? Because he faces a lot of problems as well as whether he's going to run again for president of the United States, which he says he will do so. Some of these particular court cases are going to come to his front door damn soon.
I kind of at this point fully expect him to be indicted. But whether or not that's any kind of legitimate charge, it doesn't appear that it will be. In terms of this kind of stuff, every bloody president has taken records. They announced literally on election day, so nobody paid attention, that all the records found at Mar-a-Lago were essentially this kind of thing someone would keep out of ego as mementos. They weren't national security, implications. He wasn't trying to sell them. There was no indication of any sort of nefarious activity. So he did what every other president in history has ever done. They're not going to get him on anything legitimate. And that's why, frankly, I think they're doing it to drive him and drive his base. This will drive his base into his arms.
You know, it wasn't all doom and gloom for the Republicans in 2022. You pick a couple of congressional seats up, Sistemani wins in that newly redrawn district here in southern Arizona. And then, of course, Hollering losing as well. So it could have been worse, I guess.
It wasn't terrible by any means. Republicans still have the state Senate and state House. There's Katie Hobbs is going to have either or two, governed by executive order or work with a very conservative Republican legislative majority. And across the country, you can add in a sense the seats. It's very unusual to have a president from one party elected while the other party gains House seats. So look back, 2 years ago, Republicans gained a bunch of House seats. That margin thinned. Wasn't a good day in the congressional seats, but it wasn't as bad as people kind of think, and they have the control of the U.S. Congress.
Well, Hobbs can wreak havoc with the legislature. She can veto anything that comes up to her desk. I'll veto it. That's not a veto-proof Senate or House.
But at that point, you're maintaining the status quo in a state that has been, that's designed and set up by Republicans. I think that's a better outcome for most Republicans than Governor Hobbs, who had a Democrat majority and was able to pass the thing she wants.
Well, and the idea, too, I think you're going to go back on all the money flowing to private schools rather than public schools. I think she's going to move away from that and not allow that to continue. Well, the people of Arizona have spoken about that funding of private schools as well.
John, that was before the pandemic. That was before they saw on Skype the garbage their kids are getting fed. And that one would pass in a heartbeat at this point. And trying to take away that right at this point, you're going to have the same kind of reaction from parents here that you did with the court taking away Roe.
Sam Stone, we're out of time. I hope you have a great weekend. Congratulations on your victory here in the primary, at least moving on to a runoff for your city council seat. Good luck on that as well.
John, thank you very much.
Good to talk with you. My very best to you. Thank you so much. GOP consultant, GOP strategist Sam Stone, candidate for the City Council of Phoenix. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for being with us. The flip of a coin, the other side of the coin. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party, next.
We take you to winter 1776.
Message for General Washington.
Yes, Captain.
Oh, hello, sir. Colonel Lee says the Redcoats are encamped just across the river at Trenton, sir.
We need to get the boats down to the Delaware, but the wagons are too noisy. What to do?
Begging the General's pardon, sir. Eustace Emery III. And I can lube those wagon axles so they don't squeak, sir.
Do it, Sergeant Emery.
And so, Washington's army crossed the Delaware.
We can grease your modern car truck axles, change the oil, charge the air conditioning, and do brakes, belts, and hoses on all brands, foreign and domestic. If you want a mechanic that cares about your car and your Thanksgiving, call 323-8650. That's 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me, Don Jorgensen, one of the smartest people I know, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Don, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
You're very kind. Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
How do Democrats sustain these victories of 2022? How do they keep this going without reversing back to Republicans just going through a bad time and get better in 2024? What do Democrats do?
Stay focused on the things that they have been doing the past 2 years and to benefit kind of the lives of the American people. And I'll tell you who led the way was Joe Biden. He read the the American people correctly. He kept the focus on getting things done in this midterm campaigns. You know, he understood what Republicans did not understand. People care about democracy. He kept focused on that. People care about keeping their rights and not losing any more rights. And he was right. And once again, I think people forget this is a guy who's been around a long time, and a lot of people say too long, but he understands politics, he understands campaigns, and he understands winning. And so I think if Democrats pay attention to that, pay attention to what got them to where they are by focusing on the issues that matter and not crazy issues like impeachment and all these investigations that Republicans want to take on now. If Democrats stay focused, they can, I think, build on what they have accomplished in a midterm when 2024 rolls around. And I'm going to state what I think shocked a lot of people is this was the best midterm election for a sitting president in decades. I mean, 40, 50 years. Nobody has done as well as Joe Biden and the Democrats in half a century.
You know, it seems to me, as we take a look at the map of Arizona, we can thank, at least Republicans can thank, one person, David Mayle of the Redistricting Commission, for redrawing these congressional districts to benefit Republicans. And he did that single-handedly. There's nothing impartial or fair about his role at the helm of that Redistricting Commission. But Democrats want to take that seat back. Sisk-Amani was a great candidate. Engel was not as great as she could have been. I'm not sure who was directing that campaign, but I think they failed as well as she failed. But Democrats want to get that back. Also take the Holloran congressional district back. It's going to be tough for the lines drawn as they are for the next 10 years, but I give the credit to David Mayle and the Redistricting Commission for those two victories. And what say you?
Well, he was one, definitely a huge part of it at the end, but it started with Doug Ducey, with who he appointed to the appellate commission that decided on the first round, and they started weeding out strong, qualified Democrats then. And so you wound up with a commission that was strongly Republican. The so-called independent had clear Republican ties. And so that was preordained from them, and the Republicans spent 10 years planning for that, frankly.
I think they did, and I think it paid off for them, obviously.
So it did. David Mayle, the Pima County Republicans, some other groups acted inappropriately. There was political influence, which is against, no one did anything about it, to do exactly what you said, to move those lines at the last minute that completely favored Republicans in that District 6. If that last-minute deal had not happened, Kirsten Engel would be our congresswoman. And I don't think she ran I think she ran a decent campaign. One of the challenges she had was the fact that the Democratic National Committee, the Congressional Committee, did not put the money in the same proportion that the Republicans gave to Sisk-Amani. And so she was hampered by that. There are a lot of other reasons for it. Tim Steller did a great column on this last week about this fact. And she could have done better, but I'm not sure it would have mattered simply because of the way the lines were drawn. And we saw this around the country. When you look at why let me talk about Arizona again first. You mentioned O'Halloran. That was redrawn to a point where a Democrat had no chance. The Republican who was a Trumper, this Eli Crane, won by 25,000 votes. That was the result of completely changing that district to strongly favor Republican and remove competitiveness very clearly. So that was the GOP's effort nationwide. They, and frankly, even in Congress, they gerrymandered their way to a House majority in Florida. DeSantis drew the maps, a state judge tossed it out, and they ignored it. In Tennessee, they broke up black community into multiple House districts and picked up 5 seats by gerrymandering there. Right, just with those, and I could go on into other states, those alone turned the tide. Where Democrats ran on their records, they won, where it was a fair election. In fact, they overperformed based on all the estimates that would have been. And because Republicans gained more seats by running in gerrymandered districts than by challenging Democratic incumbents. So that's what made the difference. And as you say, it's going to be really difficult to change that in the next 10 years.
By the way,
you had statewide races, as you saw, that like in the U.S. Senate, Democrats not only held all their seats, we picked up a seat.
Indeed. By the way, as we take a look at the new governor of the state of Arizona, she can play some hardball with this Republican legislature that's dominated the state for literally, I don't know how many decades, many, many decades, by just a veto. She said, send me the bills, I'll send them back to you as quick as you sent them to me. She can play hardball if she wants to. And they are not veto-proof. So, I mean, there's a whole situation in which this new Republican majority, not very slight as it is in the House and the Senate, is going to have to make some kind of peace with this governor, or nothing's going to get done. Absolutely nothing. So it's going to be interesting to watch what kind of governor Hobbs is going to be and what kind of legislature will she face coming up in the next 2 years. It's going to be fascinating to watch this, Don.
It will be, especially because you have someone now in Governor Katie Hobbs who understands how the legislature works. She was Senate Minority Leader. She was involved in both houses. She knows how to work with the Republican side. She knows how to compromise and make deals that benefit Arizona. And so I think you will see exactly what you said, some really smart and strong actions on the part of the governor, because you're right, the Republicans have been stopped at the gate now from continuing to destroy public education, from continuing to attempt to take away women's rights even further, and from just some of the outrageous bills they've tried to put in, again, to shift tax burdens from the rich onto the backs of working people. Katie Hobbs can stop all that from happening and hold that tide that we've been faced with for a couple of decades. And I think in the process, get a lot more done for Arizonans than has been done in the last 8 years under Doug Ducey.
Well, you got
great news for Arizona citizens.
Mark Kelly's got 6 years as a senator, and we got four more years with Kyrsten Sinema. So at least Democrats control both Senate seats, at least for, I don't know, 4 years from now, that's for sure. And I think you Republicans are going to have to get a serious challenge from these Democrats in these two districts that they lost. And Democrats can start now by finding candidates and putting them forward as early as possible. It's never too early to start an election campaign. Just never. Never too early.
Well, we know that. And that the good news is here, again, the vote in Arizona is one-third independents, not affiliated with either party. And they came out very strongly for, sensible government and protecting democracy. And that's why not only did Katie Hobbs win, but thank goodness we kept the Secretary of State office away from the nutcase there, Mark Fincham.
Yeah,
and so we've got Adrian Fontes in. So, again, people rejected that extremism, they rejected the nonsense, and voted in favor of serious candidates, at those top levels, and with Mark Kelly. And so that's a clear message to both parties to start getting real, start dealing with the issues that matter, and not the culture wars that we've seen too much from the Republicans.
Well, that attorney general's race is undecided as well. Mays is within striking distance of picking that up. She increased her lead, not by a lot, but did increase it in the last tally. So that's going to be interesting to see how that recount goes as well. It is possible that Democrats could pick up three of those top four statewide races, which no one could have imagined. No one could have imagined even 6 months ago, I don't think. Maybe you could have, but I couldn't.
We could, and it's a real testament also to the quality of our candidates. Katie Hobbs, Chris Mays, Adrian Fontes, really strong, serious people that that work hard and not they're not showboaters, not grandstanders. You're right. Chris May's lead is up back over 600. I think it was 651 as of this morning. That will generate an automatic recount. But again, you're counting the votes that have already
been counted.
And, it's unlikely that that would change very much.
Well, that's amazing. There's been some close races. I remember the Jim Corbett race against DeLong, who was a senator for clerk of Superior Court in Pima County. It came down to 13 votes countywide.
Amazing.
And of course, 168 votes, and Ron Barber was defeated in that race for the Congress. I lost my race in a rerun to the Senate by 86 votes. That's about a close elections, and they haunt you for the rest of your life. I just want people to know that. Don Jorgensen, so your predictions for 2024, Democrats will remain strong, doing the things they need to do to build on this great success of 2022.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Accurately Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
If you want news and analysis of Arizona's increasingly unhinged state and local politics with a skeptical, fact-based, and progressive viewpoint, you should be reading blogforarizona.net. Blog for Arizona is a thriving institution in Arizona's progressive politics for almost 20 years now. Blog for Arizona has authors from across the state with extensive experience and insight into Arizona's political history and culture. Find us online at blogforarizona.net, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
From the Perfection Network Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here's Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Well, you're still dancing in the street, aren't you, Larry?
Well, yeah, we've got a lot to be happy about. If you're a Democrat in Arizona,
yeah,
we won the U.S. Senate with Mark Kelly. We won the governor's office with Katie Hobbs. Adrian Fontes beat the pants off of Fincham. And we've almost got the attorney general seat. Chris Mays is leading by only 650 votes out of 2.5 million cast.
Wow. Close. Very close.
Yeah.
All right, and so what's in store for us from the Democrats of Greater Tucson? It's not an ending for you. It's a beginning for 2024.
Well, absolutely. The everybody wants to hear an analysis like what the heck happened in this race. Why were these races so close? You know, when you had a Republican lunatic on one side and somebody with experience and, you know, achievements on the Democratic side. And, you know, we're all wondering, like, why did Kathy Hoffman lose for superintendent of public instruction? You know, she lost by something like 9,000 votes to Tom Horn, who is just as repellent a person as you can find. And then also Kirsten Engel in Congressional District 6. She conceded, and she lost by 5,000 votes. And, you know, to this guy, Juan Ciscomani. And, did I ever tell you I ran into Juan Ciscomani in a clothing store?
No.
Yeah, he was an empty suit.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. In any event, so that's the kind of talk you get if you come to a Democrats of Greater Tucson meeting, and we've got one coming up next Monday, November 21st. It's at noon on Zoom, and you just go to thedgt.org, and you can sign in. It's free. So Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott is a Democrat who got elected in an incredibly Republican area. So this is a guy who knows how to deal with the party on the other side. And, you know, he's been an educator for just like something like 20 years. And so he's going to give us the latest on what's going on in Pima County and in Arizona statewide.
How did the David Fitzsimmons deal go?
Oh, Fitzsimmons was hilarious. He's just a riot. He was making caricatures, you know, of people who were speaking out and asking questions while the program was going on. And if you just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, you'll see that the first news item is the video, which I posted and edited with Fitz. He is just so funny and insightful. And he even drew a picture of me based on my introduction, and so now I'm going to get that framed.
Yeah, I have many of I appeared in the newspapers over this 50-year career in Tucson. I don't know, maybe 8 times he drew cartoons of me. I saved every one of them. I did. I was so proud that he included me, even though some of them were not as flattering as I would have preferred. But I still say, well, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And so he did a great job with those. I remember receiving them, and I've been on the receiving end of his humor and his ire from time to time. He's great.
Yeah,
well, a great personality. He's a funny, funny guy.
Oh, absolutely. And so I drove over to his house, and he gave me all of the drawings that he made for the presentation at Democrats of Greater Tucson last Monday. And so I just need to scan them and turn them into pictures and put them online so everybody can get an eyeful of how they look through through David Fitzsimmons' eyes.
Well, I'll tell you, you have some of the responsibility for this enormous success of Democrats statewide, because Pima County overwhelmingly chose these candidates in these very close races. Pima County made a huge difference. But putting Democrats into a situation where they can participate in the forum of the Democrats of Greater Tucson online and be a part of the conversation as well as a spectator to the conversation has been an enormous success. And I think Democrats are successful because of what you've done. You have to feel really good about
thank
that.
You, John. It's we've just had a fantastic year at Democrats of Greater Tucson. You know, we've gotten all sorts of national and internationally known people speaking before us. We have more members than ever. Everybody who's involved is extremely active in politics and getting out the vote, and it's just been a thrill to be the president for the last 3 years. In fact, you know, another guy that we're having come up at thedgt.org is a guy called Sam Almy, and he is a data analyst for the Democratic Party. You know, one of these guys who has these see-in-the-dark abilities to look at statistics and data and tell you what they mean. And he is going to be speaking on Monday, November 28. And all you need to do is just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, click the link to register, and you'll be on the program, and you can ask questions, just as you pointed out.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being a part of our show, and we'll be talking to you next week as the Democrats of Greater Tucson continue to grow each and every week, thanks to your efforts. And Larry Beaudin, thanks for being with us. Thanks for giving part of your weekend to us. Thank you.
You bet. It's my pleasure, John. All the best to you.
Thank you so much. Preceding the presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for listening to our show. I want to thank Mike Emery, our prime sponsor from Perfection Auto Works, one of the most brilliant people I know. There's probably no one in the car business that repairs automobiles does it as well as he does. That's why we choose him. Perhaps that's why he chose us. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening. From KVY, Trusted Local News and Talk, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Are you tired of yelling at the TV when news about politics comes on? I know I am. This is Larry Beaudin, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson.
It's time to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Simply Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. Don't just sit on the couch. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
It's fall 1621, and the pilgrims are readying their crops. But in the turkey barn, trouble is brewing.
We cannot stand for this injustice. All turkeys are equal. Just some of us are more equal than others. We shall not end up on a dinner table. We will escape.
Oh no, we must capture those turkeys.
I can fix that, Governor. I'm an auto mechanic.
Eustace Emery, mechanic? Strange no one's invented the automobile yet. Oh well, if you can capture the turkeys, do it.
And so Thanksgiving was saved because Eustace Emery invented the Plymouth Arrow and recaptured the turkeys.
Perfection Auto Works, 1046 North Beverly, 323-8650, or perfectionautoworks.com, 323-8650.